We should learn a little Kabayosha tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
Because it's Shevavim. Anyone here know what Shevavim is? Shevavim are the weeks between. Shevavim are the weeks between Shemais and Mishpatim. Has a lot to do with Mitzrayim. Has a lot to do with. We're good at the
Kalashim. I'm just going to change. Oh, I don't know about Kalashim.
With Kalashim phone. Kalashim phone, very important.
Hey, don't worry about it. Here it is.
Call Russian phone, guys.
My phone.
Any phone.
Any phone?
Oh, let's make your phone holy. Come here.
Yeah, it's
dead. Oh. No wonder you gave it to me. I was thinking like, wow.
You have a phone?
Hmm? I don't have a phone.
No, nobody has a phone?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, nobody has a phone? Look
you
what happened.
You have the code?
Look what happened. What? That's a good phone.
You
what?
You don't have the code, though.
Oh. Somebody has a code here. Nobody has a code? Here's the code.
So let's go.
Oh, wow. Flip that phone.
I don't know the phone.
It's so cool.
It's an old phone.
What? Do you have the code? We don't want to leave Cole. We don't want to leave Cole washing out of tonight's share.
I don't know how to use this phone.
Sorry.
718-906-6499.
6499.
Mm-hmm.
See what it is.
Ah, welcome to Cole
washing. 7045.
8832. Okay. Good.
Push 5 to record.
What's on? We're good? Very cool. Sidekick?
Yeah.
New toy. Oh. So this is it? It's old? It's still very bad. You should see what I gave him, what it looks like. It's older. Okay, so Shevavim are the weeks between Parshas Shmos and Parshas Mishpatim. We're not going to get into the whole Kabbalistic thing over here, but a little bit. So Adam was separated for 130 years from Chava. After he did the Aver from the Eitz Hadas, so he was very upset, so he separated. While he was separated, he didn't have a wife. So he did an Aveira, and that Aveira caused what we call a lot of nitzutzim, a lot of tame parts of him that were missing from him because he did that Aveira. And the Dor HaMabul, when the world was destroyed, the Dor HaFlaga, when they built the tower. And so these... How would you say it in English? Evil DNA markers, whatever you want to call them. So they went from after Dar Mabel, they went to Dar Flaga, and then they ended up in Mitzrayim. And Sodom, and then they ended up in Mitzrayim. So they ended up in Mitzrayim, and Bnei Yisrael's job was to go down to Mitzrayim, Moshe at the head of them, and take all these nitzutze of Tumah, these pieces of Tumah, put them all back together again and recreate Adam. So this happened in Parshas. Started Parshas Shmos. We went down to Mitzrayim. They were Bob Chalif, right, all the way through Mishpatim. So these are specific days that are set aside to do tshuva, Mondays and Thursdays, to do tshuva for the avera that a boy does, that a man does. Without spelling it out, everyone can figure it out. So in Perek Beis in the Kava Yashar, he talks specifically about this avera, and I think that we should start off tonight's shir with, and maybe the next five shir, and go through Kava Yashar and take the separate, he speaks about it very often, and take the separate prakim that he speaks about it. So, he starts like this. Davar HaMelech, Olav HaShalom, Amar B'Tehillim. If you look into Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Yutes, Perek Kuf Yutes is the one that has Aleph through Tav, and if you look at Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Kuf Yutes, it says, Haver Einai Meroi Shav. Remove my eyes from seeing Shav. We'll see what that means in a minute. Nothingness. B'drachecha Chayeni. In your ways, give me life. Tzarech Adam L'das, a person needs to know. He harbei dvarim, many things in life. Tluyim b'riyas einav shel Adam. Go by what you look at. Arkein nirali, therefore it seems to me, says the Kav Yashar, tzarech lazari, take it b'kubi mishnasai, that you have to be careful the minute you wake up in the morning from what your eyes see. In mistaka b'riyas el habatim, if you're walking past houses, so you see houses, what should you think? Oh, a house? There's something good about a house. Every door in the house has a mezuzah. Beautiful. Mitzvah makel gagabayis. If there's a roof, so there has to be a makel, there has to be a fence around the top of the house. Like it says, let's see some makel gagecha. If you walk out of your house, this doesn't happen very often in Brooklyn. If you walk out of your house and you meet animals that are kosher, like a lamb or a cow or a goat, right? Haruin l'karbin, that you can bring for a karbin. Yachshav v'datash, you should have in mind that God gave us the mitzvah of bringing karbanos. Part of him is chayas tamayas. What happens if you walk out of your house and there's a cat or a possum or a squirrel, right? Yachshav v'datash, you should think, isra chilasan, that I'm not allowed to eat them. So in other words, whatever you see should be connected to the Torah. Something I've been talking about for a long time, that Judaism, Yiddishkeit, the religion that we have, a person can be connected to Hashem all day long. You look at a house, there has to be a fence on it. You look at a kosher animal, carbon. Dreif animal, I'm not allowed to eat it. That is the job of a Jewish person in this world, to be connected to God through everything that he does. And Hashem gave us a book, a manual, on how to do that. Like, how do I connect to God wearing a suit? You get a shotness checked. You have that little thing in your suit that says shotness checked. So when you put on that suit, you're connected to Hashem. You put on a new suit, you make a malbash harumim, you make a shechianu. So everything that a person does, even wearing a suit, right? You're wearing a shirt, so how do you put your hand in the shirt? Your left hand in first or your right hand in first? Halach is you have to put your right hand in first. Your buttons, the way that we button our shirts, is the way that your buttons have to be. Because chas v'shalom, when a person dies, they button it the other way. So even how you button your shirt has a halacha. Now, why does Hashem do that? Because he's evil, and he wants us to be like his servants and his slaves. Wrong. He's doing it because he wants to be connected to you even when you button your shirt. Isn't that nice? God wants to be connected to you even when you button your shirt. It's sort of like a parent, the first time a kid gets a tooth or walks or drools or talks or whatever it is, they want to be there. They want to get that picture. You want to get a picture of your kid, the first step they took, right? Big deal. You know, I'm running 4 miles every morning. It's a big deal. Kid, like, no, but you want to be there every second with your kid when they're growing up. So the 613 mitzvahs Hashem gave us, it's not the way we look at it in our generation. That, oh my God, another mitzvah, oh, another mincha, oh, another shachris. It's all, oh wow, he wants to be connected to me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then at 8 o'clock at night, and then at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then before I go to bed, and when I wake up in the morning, he wants to talk to me all the time. That's a compliment. That's a mission in Pirkei Avos. Because Rabbi says, Chibi Yisera, the mission says, a special love that Hashem told us, that Banim Atem Hashem. The whole outlook of Judaism today, of kids, of adults, of everybody, is that why do we have to do so much? Which really, it's, if you really can go through the layers, what does God need us for? He needs me to put my right hand in my shirt first. He needs me to put my right shoe on first and tie my left shoe on. He needs me to talk to him when I come out of the bathroom. Like, come on. Right? If you think about it, does God need that? He needs you to make a bruch on an apple. I mean, where do you have the chutzpah all together to bless him? Who are you to bless God? Right? It's like a goldfish blessing you in the morning. Have a good day. You need a goldfish telling you have a good day every day? No, you don't need that. So the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that is because he's trying to show us in 613 different ways and a couple more that I've gone on how much he loves us. That you can eat this, but you can't eat that. So a nutritionist who cares about you, right? So when they tell you, you can eat this, you can't eat this, you could eat this, you can't eat this, it's because they care about you. And the doctor tells you, listen, you're allergic. You have an allergy to eggs or to peanuts. If you're going to eat peanuts, your throat's going to close. You're going to die. So he doesn't care about you? What do you give me so many rules? I can't eat peanuts. I can't drink milk. I'm not allowed to have eggs. Come on, what's wrong with you? You hate my guts? No, you're allergic to those three things. And if you're going to eat them or anything that has peanuts in it, you're going to die. You're going to walk around saying, I can't believe this. What a stupid diet. I hate them. I hate them. You know, my doctor told me I have to go on a diet. He says, no carbs, no sugars, and no white flour, and no processed sugar. I'm like, did I walk out of there and say, I'm never coming back to him. You know, so many rules. Because he said, I want you to live long, man. So, it's how you look at it. It's just how you look at it. By the way, this is very interesting. Going off the dirt for a minute, talking sports, which I don't do very often. So, you know, I gave you a whole just lahavdil. I gave you a whole shiur a few weeks ago about the difference between want and need. The person who wants to do something never gets it done. The person who needs to do something, those are the ones who get it done. There's nothing to talk about. You need to change the world, you change the world. You want to change the world, you walk around the whole life. I wanted to change the world. I really wanted to change the world. I should have changed the world. The person who needs, it's like that. Anyway, you need shalom bayis, you have shalom bayis. You want shalom bayis, you go to the therapist. It's a big difference. So anyway, lahavdil elef abdallahs. After the Giant game this Sunday, right? I don't remember who they were interviewing, but I was in a car driving, whatever. So the guy that was driving had it on, and they were like, if you had to put it into words, what was the edge? They were talking to the Giant players because they only talk to the ones who win. It's Greece, it's Greek. It doesn't matter how hard you play, it's a win. He says, if you had to put it into words, what was your edge against San Francisco? Who's the edge? So this guy, I don't know who it was, I don't remember, said, man, we needed it more than them, man. We just needed this win more than they did. I was like, that man heard my share. That's all he said. He didn't say we're better. He didn't say we played better. We executed better. We had better coaching. Our quarterback's better. Nothing. He said, we just needed this win more than them. That's the bottom line. It's how much you need it. If you need it, you get it done. You need to daven in the morning, you daven in the morning. Someone's sick and you need to daven for them, you daven for them. You have an appointment, you got to get up at 5 o'clock, you get up at 5 o'clock. Every morning, I want to get up at 5 o'clock, I want to go to the Daf Yomi, I want to go to the Mikvah, I want to go to Minyan before it's my Kriya Shema. You never do. You need to, you have to go on. Tomorrow morning, I need to catch a 6:35 flight to Toronto. So I need to get up at 5 o'clock. So I'm going to have my phone alarm, a regular alarm, my ice melting that it falls off the headboard and hits me in the head by 5 o'clock. You know, I need to make that plane. So I will be up. And I hope it's Hashem. It's a very, very big difference. I just found it very funny that at the end of the football game, that was all he had to say. like, yo, man, we needed it more than they did. It's a big lesson. It's in anything. So a person wants to change, we're going to talk about it. It's when you need to change that you're going to change, not when you want to change. Someone called me right before I got here tonight. On my way here, he said, I'm trying to stop listening to non-Jewish music, and it works for 2-3 days, and I'm right back to the non-Jewish music. He says, come on, you know, he's giving me his whole thing. It's not the same. I said, listen to the last Moshe band that came out. It's a very good album, whatever. I'm not pushing Moshe band, but if you have to listen to rock, you know, we're talking back and forth. I don't know, I did it so many times, it doesn't work for 3 days. I can't go back to Shrek, I can't go back to this one, I can't go back to that one. I'm like, you don't need it yet. You don't need to let go of the Goyish music. When you need to, you would. I needed to, because I was a Rebbe, and I wanted to be able to learn Zayar, and I wanted to learn Chida, and I knew that from listening to non-Jewish music, I'm just not going to get the Siyat Shmaya that I need. So I, at that point, I just needed to stop listening to Goyish music. I needed to stop watching television. I needed to stop going to movies. I needed to do that. I wanted to. You want to do a lot of things. But I knew that to get where I'm going, I just needed to do it. That's it. You know, if you're training for a big fight, you need to win. Then you lose the weight and you jog 20 miles if you have to. If you need something, you get it done. I just thought it was funny. So I hope they need to win the Super Bowl. Anyway, so I don't really care. I'll do a little bit. Okay. Anyway, so we see from here that a person, you walk by a house, you walk by an animal, whatever you do, you can be connected to Hashem all the time. Amazing. You walk by a house, you're thinking mezuzah. Right? It's funny. I have a friend that's in the kitchen business. And he's like a real businessman. So we're driving on the FDR drive. And he's in the car, I'm in the car. And there's a guy that's in real estate in the car. Well, all three of us were very good friends. So we're driving the FDR drive, and they had these projects near the Williamsburg Bridge. There's these projects on the side of the... So he says, the three of us are in the car, he says, when you look at that building, what do you see? He said to me, what do you see? I said, what do you see? He says, kitchens. There's like 1,000 apartments. He's a kitchen guy. I see kitchens. What did the other guy say? I see rent. The other guy's a real estate guy. He says, I see rent. I said, I see trouble. Because I know who lives in those apartments. So it's like, for the fact, the three of us are driving by, this guy sees because that's what he sells. And there's hundreds of apartments there. Other guy, he's a real estate guy. So what the Kabbalah Yosher is saying over here is, what do you see when you look at a house? You see the what's it called on the roof? The satellite antenna? What do you see? You say a person can look at a house. What you see is the mitzvah of mezuzah, the mitzvah of makkah. It's great. It's amazing. He says, very important. It's not only what you physically see, it's what you mentally see. What happens if you walk down the street and you meet a non-Jew? So what do you think? You see a non-Jew crossing the street, what should you think? Yachshav b'dati issus chasnus. You have to think in your mind, I'm not allowed to marry them. I'm not allowed to marry a non-Jew. You see a non-Jew in the street, I'm sure that's what we all think of when we see one, right? I'm not allowed to marry them. Each person has to think according to his knowledge, according to what he learned. It's a very big Indian. That he keeps his eyes in holiness. Begivanim de'enov. In the colors, actually, the gevanim de'enov, the colors of his eyes. Bezel umazeh. And each one is connected to the other one, contradicts the other one. If he looks at things that are holy, that's why on my desk in my office I have no computer, but I have a plaque that has a Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Rebbe said that if you ever walk through Rebbe Gamliel's room, where he sits, you will see on every single wall, Yud Kei Vav Kei, all over the place. That's all he wants to see is Hashem's name. And that happens to be extremely good for your, it's medicine for your soul. So as much as you can look at Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, you should look at it as much as you can. So he says, so therefore, if you look at holy things, Malbush Lirias Eino B'Kedusha, so it's like clothing for your eyes of holiness. Can't chas v'shem hu lehepach. But if it's the opposite, when a person looks at things he's not supposed to on the internet, or in books or magazines or whatever he's looking at, uvenashim zarim, and in strange women, not meaning strange women, meaning not your wife. So if you're not married, meaning any women. He brings himself into extreme spiritual impurity. The Raya Gedayla says, I'll bring you an unbelievable proof. Shahariyahu playgame umafkin. That actual looking has a power. It does have a power, by the way. If you stare at someone who doesn't know you're looking at them, all of a sudden they'll turn around and look at you. Looking has a power. It really does. It has a power. You look at someone really strong, you'll feel like someone's looking at them. I feel like someone's looking. What do you feel like someone's looking at you? What does that mean? I feel like someone's looking at me. What does that mean? Because looking has a power. It has a power. He says, there's a bird. There's a bird called a bas hayana. The eggs that she lays are in front of her. And she looks at them. By staring at them, she cracks the egg so that the babies can come out. And one little chick, little thing comes out, little bird comes out from each egg. And I'm going to tell you a lot more chidushim, he says it. He says, therefore, Goder usyag, a gate, an offense. He shouldn't look at things that will cause him to sin. Like women, upsulais, and young women. Who bring a person to do the aver of a boy. That's what David HaMelech said. Keep your eyes from looking at things you shouldn't. Then you could live in Hashem's way. What's a loymer? He's trying to say, ki oisiyah shav, the word shav is equal to 307. Shin is 300. Woman aleph is 7. Hu gematria shin zayin. Right? 307. Shin zayin, 307. What is shin zayin, the Rosh HaTevis of? Shechva zera. Hu remez gadol, he says. And that's a remez gadol. The Nira Liot, he says, and it appears to me, this is the Kavayasha writing, more. I'm not going to say the name of the Satan's wife, whatever it is. Imkita Seha, she comes with her whole chevra, her whole group. Nikroim Chevle Shav, they're called the group of waste. Chevle Demisa, the group of death. Kediisa Bekama Makayim in Bezayah, as it's written in Nezayah many times. Hashem, I should live in your ways. I should live in the way of life, not in the way of death. There is a great school. How do you say school in English? Protection? School. How would you say school? An omen. Yeah, like when you bake chal, it's a skula, you know, with a key.
Married or whatever.
Right, so how would you say that in English? There's no word?
They don't have any school, it's a reward.
It's not a reward. Protection. I don't know.
It's a form of protection.
Form of protection. Nifla, unbelievable. You're not to have erezu to keep you from doing the sin. What is it? Yitzar adam tamid. A person should always picture in front of him. Like the name of Hashem is in front of him. Written on a black lettering, agave klaf, on white cloth. Hashem's name should always be across from you. My eyes should always be towards Hashem. When the Beis Yosef was sitting in Tzfas with his chavrusos, and the Malach, who was called the Magid, came from Shemayim, Noitzen Itzei Genos L'Rav. He gave a very interesting Eitzah advice to the Rav. The Beis Yosef. Kedesh lo yavei adam dechetze. That a person should not come to do this sin. Yitzaya adam ki ilu dekoinah shel avim amedos lefanov. He should paint a picture of his father. Like his father standing in front of him. Maybe Ryan Yosef HaTzadik. We see from Yosef HaTzadik. Shabika Jishka from Eishet Petifira. He wanted to be with the Eishet Petifira. And Nizbal in front of the Kodesh Shal Aviv. But he saw the picture of his father in front of him. Uparash Yosef Me'achet. And Yosef separated himself from the sin. Right? How do we know this? He also says, that in the Torah in Bereshit, it says, Desha Eisev Mazriya Zera. Desha, who Rosh HaTevez, the Kodesh Shal Aviv. Now, Mazriya Zera is Zera Lemineu. Okay, I'm sure you don't walk around with pictures of your father with you, but when it means to imagine the picture of your father. If your father was walking into the room, you would not be doing what you're doing. So, if you can't keep the UKVFK, you should be thinking about the picture of your father. The Zaya says in Pash Pekude that there is an angel, a bad angel, a very bad angel. A very mean angel. Shenikra Patos. His name is Patos. Patos means to break, to smash. Why is he called Patos? Al Shem Shehu Mefateh, Livnei Nisol, Estakol Al-Ainab Amed Delo Yitztrichlo, Bekama Neufim Uznunim. Patos also means to be Mefateh, to talk into, to seduce. Right, that's the word. Al Shem Shehu Mefateh, Livnei Yenosha, He seduces men. To look at things they shouldn't. In many immoral things. And after that person dies, and he's buried in his grave. Kav Yasha is not a simple sefer. It's written 350 years ago by Rav Kadanover, who they say Mamash was like in Shemayim. So whatever he's writing from like Shemayim, very holy sefer. Noam Elimelech writes to him, Chida writes about him, very, very holy. So he says, V'acham Yisrael Adam, after a person dies, V'nigman, he's buried B'kever in his grave, Baham Amun Ahohu, this Malach, called Patos, who got you to go online and look at all those crazy pictures, right? All those crazy catalogs that come to your house. All those crazy magazines, all those crazy movies. This guy, named Patos, he's talking to you in your ear. Hi, my name's Patos, right? He comes. And in the grave, in the dead body, he put back the soul. After that, he grabs on to this person's body with strength. I believe this happens on the third day after a person dies. And he breaks the sockets that hold the eyeballs. And he takes the eyes from that person's dead body.
Is he quoting
the Zohar? And it's a Pasha Pekude. And I'm not really supposed to give the secret away, but in the Zohar, many times when it talks about the Malach HaMoves, it says that he has millions of eyes. Very scary looking thing. With millions of eyes. Those are the eyes of people who were looking at things that they weren't supposed to look. Now, we could all do tshuva. And the best way to do tshuva is to stop looking at those things and start looking at Yud Kei Vav Kei. And also, I sort of say, for when you go to the mikvah, you should at least one time down, you should leave your eyes open. You should leave your eyes open to clean your eyes, so
unless,
to say.
Unless it's too hot.
What?
Unless it's too hot. It's not that it could hurt your eyes.
Chlorine hurts your eyes too. 1 second. You don't have to, but...
If it's boiling hot.
If it's boiling hot, then the rest of your body shouldn't be in there either. if it's that hot that you open your eyes, it's going to hurt you, then the rest of you should not be in there either.
Too late.
What?
Too
late. No, I'm saying if the rest of you is in there, Ray, then you can open your eyes. Anyway, I'm just telling you, I sorted to say for a second... You should have Taharas HaNayim. Of course, the thing that cleans the eyes more than anything else is when a person cries. A person does tshuva and he cries, those tears mamash clean the eyes. Anyway, so I don't usually like to teach this thing because I don't believe that you should serve Hashem out of fear. But he's just telling you, he's telling you a fact. What happens? So you need to know. It's right underneath the sefer is my Hilchos Rambam. Don't worry, I'm not going to let them think that their eyeballs are going to be broken and whatever. I'm not leaving them like that. They're going to go home tonight. They're going to be all nervous, right? So v'achak kei donas adam b'yisurin kashim umarim. And after that, the person goes through a very big yisur. V'achak when we didn't say labar, then they put him into, this is really beautiful. Then they put him into a pit. Sheish b'yhabay nechashim v'akrabim. And have snakes. These are all, again, spiritual snakes and scorpions. And they grab him. And he goes through some terrible times. And the Arizal writes, in Pasha Tavarim, where it talks about the kosher birds and the non-kosher birds. There is a bird there called Ra'a, Reish Aleph Hay, which stands for seeing, Ra'a, to see. It could see, this bird can see very, very far. While Oivzeh, and on this bird, Shinikra came, why is it called Ra'a? It could see far. Umezane Griyasai. And it's Mezane just with looking. Wow. Good knowledge. Let's see what he says on that.
Wait a minute, spell seeds just by looking.
It's Mizana, yeah. Yeah, Umemala Tavasai. It's Mamala, it's Tire, just by looking. And the Shagul Gulin brings down that if a person does that, that's what he comes back with, that bird. Alright, whatever.
Wow.
It ain't good. It ain't good, it ain't good. Lechain, therefore, Ha'ayna Shalish, the punishment for that man, Hamastaku Benashim, who looks at women. Now, mistakel is a little more than looking. Gazing. So what's that second look like, sort of?
Double
when someone walks by, that's the first look. Susuru is like the second look. The second look's the tough one.
Double clutch.
If someone walks by you, and you see they're not dressed, and then you're able to turn your head the other way, it says that's the time that you should ask the bakasha from Hashem. It's the biggest time of rachamim. It doesn't mean you should walk down the street. And that's not what it means. But if you're walking down the street, all of a sudden this girl walks by and you're like, whoa, and you just turn your head the other way, you're like, I'm not watching her walk, it's the biggest time of rachamim. I know a guy that told me that Imam asked for something at that time. He didn't tell me when it happened. He told me afterwards. He said, you should know something, that this just happened. I want you to know why, because 2 weeks ago, I was on Avenue J, and like, whoa, and I turned around, and I said, I'm not looking. He said, and I asked Hashem for something, and I got it. That's a big prayer. Big prayer for a person when you turn the other way.
Just don't ask Hashem for the girl, that's all.
Doesn't say that. And if you ask Hashem for the girl, maybe she'll become a Bar Tshuva, and a Ger, and become Frum, and then one day, you'll marry her. There's such a story in the Gemara. But what girl? You didn't really look at her. You don't even know what she looks like. Right? All right. Anyway, but I agree. If you're asking for the girl, then you look too much already. The person who does this comes back. And he goes through a lot of pain. You need to know. You have to know that this is very interesting. This is very deep. This is very interesting. Listen to what he says. I never taught this before. Listen to what he says. And I say this all the time. I say that in therapy a lot, and a lot of people deal with this, and it's everybody's dealing today with the symptoms. When someone does an Aveira, so the Aveira, the sin that the person does, is a symptom of something much deeper. In other words, it's the same thing when today I was dealing very, very much with a kid, with a girl, whatever, that's in a frumi, she from school, whatever it is, and she just totally went off the derech from like one day to the next. and she's like with a guy. It's like terrible. Her parents are freaking. They don't know where she is. She's disappeared on them, and they're going crazy and whatever. And they're like, and I'm like, it didn't happen today. That's a symptom of what just happened, but there's something else going on. A kid, you know, I have to tell you that I myself, from my own shiurim, really, I think the person who grew the most from all the shiurim I've given in the last 7 years is me. Because I say it and I hear it and I prepare it. So I am very into Hakaras HaTov. In other words, if I do everything for you, don't smack me. You know, I told you the story with the donut, right? Don't take my donut. Oh, yeah. Understand? If your Rebbe does everything for you, he buys you donuts, he takes you everywhere, and he has a donut on his desk, it's his donut that he's eating for lunch, leave it alone, right? You take that donut, it's a smack. It means like, I don't care what you did for me, it doesn't mean anything to me, right? Like, in your face. And I used to take that very personally. And I gave a share about 6 weeks ago about don't take personally. And I told this to this mother today. She's like, I want to go into her room and I want to break everything I ever bought her. That was her reaction to what her daughter is doing to her by what she's doing, right? So I want to break everything I ever bought her. And I said to her, she's not doing what she's doing to hurt you. She didn't say, hineni muchanim zumin. Lakayim, the opposite of kiddush aim, I want to hurt my mother and my father, so I'm going out with a boy. She wants to go out with a boy. Now, that it's hurting her parents, she doesn't care enough, is something we need to talk about. Why don't you care that it's hurting your parents? But there's no Shiloh. She's not, when she walked out the door, she didn't say, doing this to hurt my parents. She's doing it to have fun. So you want to break everything that you ever bought her means that you think that she's doing this to hurt you, so you want to hurt her back. But if someone's doing something and it's not to hurt me, if my grandson takes a crystal glass on Shabbos, right, and he throws it on the floor, he's 6 years old, and it smatters into 100 pieces, I'm upset. But if my 17-year-old takes a glass, right, looks me in the face, knows that we have a set of crystal glasses, and throws it on the floor in my face, he did that to hurt me. That hurts. Now, they're both only one glass, crystal glass, but my 6-year-old did not do that to hurt me. I'd be upset that my glass is broken, but I'm not going to be upset that he tried to hurt me. My 17-year-old did that to get to me. It's very different, even though both the end of the sum of what happened is each one broke a glass. So I explained to this mother that this girl did not do this. She's not doing this to hurt you. Why she's doing it and doesn't care that it hurts you, so that we need to find out what's the disease, what's going on inside. But if you're going to start breaking her stuff, what are you doing? You're worse than her because you're doing something. So I told her, you're doing something to hurt your daughter. She wasn't doing something to hurt you. You're not having fun breaking her stuff. So you're worse than her. I said, you want to be worse than her? She wants to have fun. She's hurting you. You're doing this, you're not having fun. You're breaking everything you bought her because you want to hurt her. I said, you're worse than she is. You're like, whoa. I'm like, no, you can't touch anything that's in it. You can't go into her room and break anything. This is not what this is about. I think the Chachamim said that a person only sins and does an avera shenichnas ruach shtus. What does that mean? A person does an avera because into him went a silly spirit. Like he was an idiot for a minute, right? You did an avera, for that moment you're an idiot. Why? Because the Chachamim knew that we don't do an avera, most of us, lahachas. In other words, we don't say, hini mukum zuin, God, I'm doing this to hurt you. There are some kids that do. I'm not telling you that no one does, but most of us don't do an avera for that reason. So the Kava Yasha in Perek Beis is going to say something mind-boggling. He's going to say that the Aveira, when a boy looks at something he's not supposed to, is not coming from that moment. But we need to get to the source of where it's coming from. Now, most of us would say, Taiva wants to look at something he's not supposed to. And what you hear what the Kali Yasha says? The Kali Yasha says, fine. Kilchol avay. Every sin that a person does, yesh guram v'siba hamaviya oisei lidekach. There is a reason and something that brought you to that aver. It doesn't just happen. The guy I like to say stuff happens. Stuff doesn't just happen. Now, what does he say on the bottom? On Tez Zayin. Wow. I don't know if I should say this when you get into trouble. He says like this. No, I'm going to get into trouble. He says like this. V'helchi nami yesh gram v'sira m'vias oisei lidei histaklis b'noshim asuris. He says there is a reason and something that brought him to look at women that are usher to look at. V'asibah harishayim. He says one reason might be, the first one, a person who looks at like non-kosher animals, things that are tummy. Your eyes, it's also very interesting. I wanted to get to some chumash tonight. We'll see if we get there. Your eyes can satisfy you. In other words, person, because the eyes are in a person's head are called shamayim, because the eyes only take in, eyes don't give out. So we learned a long time ago that in Kabbalah, anything above your mouth is called your shamayim. It just takes in, your nose takes in air, your eyes take in pictures, your ears take in sound. Then your mouth does both. It takes in, it takes in food, it gives out words. So it's the bridge, right? Your throat is the bridge, and from your shoulders down, it's called your aretz. Because from there everything goes out. And the pasuk says, Tache desha mizriya zera. Right? So that's the aretz gives out. Below your shoulder, you go to the bathroom. Everything, whatever comes out of your body comes from below your shoulders. So your eyes have the power to satisfy through histaklus. Right? I don't know about food.
You have eyes also, because that's Hashem created color foods and stuff.
No, I'm saying, I don't mean but to satisfy. In other words, if you're hungry and you see food, I think it makes you more hungry, probably. But when it comes to looking at things you're not supposed to, definitely, you can, it's like your mamash can feel like you're taking it in. It's like you're hungry, and you want to see more, and you turn the page, and you hit whatever on the computer, and you're whoa. And your eyes are like cameras, and they take it in. And the Ramesh goes, the eyes are the windows to the soul. So it goes in your eyes, goes straight into your soul. There's no filter. It goes right in your eyes, straight into your soul. That's why tzaddikim can look at a person's eyes. They can see, looking into his eyes, Ramesh's soul. Ramesh, what's going on inside? Those are the windows to your soul. So if you bring bad stuff in it, it's like cocaine. It's like straight to the soul. And that's why it has a straight effect on you, which you all know that it does when you look at something you're not supposed to. So, af sheyesh la'adam rishus liras b'riyas mishunas abad medinas mechakim. Even though people are allowed to look at unkosher animals that are like in a circus or in a zoo, right? Ba'alzeh tiknu chacham isekwele bracha v'kavu bracha bracha mashan habriyos. There's even a bracha that you make if you see like a weird animal, right? Don't stand there and stare at them. You can look at them a little bit for a minute or two. Don't look at them too much. He says, the eye has four colors. You have the white. Then you have, between your white and the color of your eye, let's say I have green eye, So between, you can look at this in science, between your white and the color of your eye is a very thin black circle. So you have the white, the black circle, the color, and then the black of your pupil. There's four colors. There's four different colors in your eye. Why? Ready for this? Neged oisiyat shem havaya. The four colors are neged Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei. V'im haben adam roya bir oisa briyas tameyos. So if you're going to look at things that are not briyas, that are not kosher, since you saw that, it's going to make you want to look at things that are worse. And a man shouldn't look at his wife. Again, it's more than not just look. It means to gaze at your wife when she's unclean. Because this unclean nida, It's actually something that surrounds her when she's in the days of Nida. And by looking at her, the tuma from the Nida is going to be medavek, is going to connect to the tuma on your eyes. He says, I'll bring you a proof. Do not try this at home. I shall throw you out. If a woman, a non-clean woman, would look in a brand, if she would look into a brand new mirror, never used before, brand new mirror you put up on the wall, and the first person that looks in it is an isha nida, you will see on the mirror a spot. And you won't be able to remove that spot. You're not allowed to look at the face of a bad person. You should keep your eyes in holy things. And therefore you'll give a great light to the four colors that are in your eyes. Okay. It's good to look up to the heavens, because to see the creations of Hashem. Okay, now we're going to learn a little Zayah for 2 seconds. It says if you listen to words of Zayah, the way they're written, it's a refuah for your soul. Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, said, Yom Echad Havina Al Keif Yam. One day I was standing by the beach. For Asa Eliyahu. This never happened to me at the beach, but okay. Vos Eliyahu, and Eliyahu came. But Amali, he said to me, Rabbi, Yadat Ma'ud Iksiv, do you know what it says in the Pasuk? Su'u Moram Einechem, lift your eyes to the heavens. U'u Mi Bara Ela, and see who created them. Amen Ale, I answered him. Eilin Shemai V'Chaleihan. The heavens and stars, everything, the clouds, everything that's in the heavens, of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it was made by God. A person should look at it and make a bracha, like it says in Tehillim, Ki Era Shemecha. I saw your heavens, my says Basecha, the deeds of your fingers, the moon, the kechavim, and the stars are Shekhananta, right? Because of Hashem Adonai Amadir Shemecha B'chol Oretz, Ad Kam Hashanim, B'chein, and therefore. That they used to look up at Shemayim when the stars came out. When it began to come light, because it says Ma'arabu Isecha. Now, specifically when the sunrise. As I talk Adam Listakal Shemayim and Tzitz Hashem as Bivrasai, a person should look at the Shemayim when the sun comes out of its gura. So they took over the Shem Shal. Okay, we don't have to learn this. We don't have to learn this either. Okay, this is all about the things that hide behind the sun and the moon. Not what we really have to talk about right now. Okay, he ends like this. Person has to be careful what he sees and what he says. Because what you say is what you think about is like you're doing it. I can't be lost to the basic necessities. Yira lemat v'deburai. When you go to shul in the morning, don't talk too much on the way to shul. Divrei cholim chaveiro. A lot of people don't talk. We go to the mikvah. Don't talk in the morning until they come out of the mikvah. V'chosh kein im ish acher. Atu shaloi l'tzarech. You shouldn't talk to people just stam. Zeh shkul in the flesh. Shikav shem rachma tefilasei. I have a friend that does this. He will not talk until after davening, from when he wakes up in the morning. He says it's a big school at Nifla, not talk at all.
Is that Shechnar?
What?
Not to
talk at all?
Before you talk Hashem, you shouldn't...
You shouldn't eat, you shouldn't drink. You shouldn't say Shalom. But this is, he's saying here, like, you go to the mikvah, whatever, you don't talk, you have in the morning, you don't say a word to nobody, like, pass me the water, can I get your coffee, like, nothing. But that school at Nifla, Shechav Hashem Rachmav Tilasai. It's a big school. We like schools.
But as I said, right? Good morning. You're insulting him by not saying good morning back. So,
that's a problem. Good morning. You know, like, if it's a non-Jew, you have to answer. You have to answer because
Dr. Shalom.
Yeah, I'm saying if it's a non-Jew. The story with Rabbi Yitzchak Ashkenazi, who went to the kever of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. And he did all kinds of Yehudim that the Arizal gave him. And Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli gave him, he wasn't alive at that point, but he gave him the secret of the Zohar Pashazinu. He said, I don't want you to talk to anybody until you get them. And he went. And he prayed, Ve'ein kol ve'ein tshuva. But Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi didn't come and tell him anything. He was broken. And he came back to the Ariba. I'm like, Adoni, my master, my Rebbe. Pasil kevah Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. I came to the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, but he's the Kolak Tzibisani. I did everything you told me. But Loi Bar Eloi, Shum Tshuva Mimenu. He didn't answer me. I see that you spoke to an Arab. But Loi Dai Shu Loi Shal V'Shlamecha. It's bad enough. He didn't ask you. He didn't say hello to you. You said hello to him. Didn't I tell you did I tell you not to talk to anyone? He said, you know what? You're right. And he admitted it. I can't You have to say shalom, he says, before you go daven because of the country that we live in. But don't talk too much. The Zeh school in Nifla v'Nemani, he says it's a big school. Kikitsati po, l'kamen arach by parakim, it's a big school that a person should not speak before davening, or if he has to speak, he should speak as little as possible. It's a big school that your tefillah should be answered, yes. Big, 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 big school. All right. So, it ain't good to be looking at things you're not supposed to. Right? And we also see here that every Aveira starts with something else. In other words, something causes you to do that Aveira, and it's usually something very small. Usually it's very, very small. And one thing adds to another, adds to another, adds to another, and before you know it, you don't have any control of yourself at all anymore. So, Shmiras Yanayim is very hard. Shmiras Yanayim in America is very hard. Shmiras Yanayim with a cell phone, iPhone, all this other stuff is crazy hard. But if you want your neshama to be clean, and if you know, a lot of people, they go to shir, they don't understand certain things. You have to understand, the more your neshama gets tameh, the less you understand, the less you want to dive in. It's like a spiritual buzzing. It's like you're uncomfortable with yourself. By the way, it absolutely 100% causes depression. Nothing to talk about. That buzzing that makes you uncomfortable in your own shoes. You just get very uncomfortable with yourself. And that comes from Zera Levatala, big time. All this one I'm talking about. Because you create these mazikim and they're all over you, even though in the physical world you don't feel it, but you feel it. It's like, it's just not comfortable. You're just like, you're looking for stuff. You're not happy in your own body. And that comes from these mazikim. He speaks about a lot. The Zohar speaks about a lot. That's what these mazikim do. Because you create these millions of malachim, of these little devils, these little angels, and they're your children. That's pretty scary. They come from you, so they're your children. That's why the Svardim don't, when their father's buried, they don't go to the kever, because that way, if the children don't go, so those children don't go. If the children go, then those children have a right to go. Well, it's very bad and very hard on the person that died. So Svardim don't go. That way they could say, well, the real children, the human children don't go, so the devil children don't go. It's not a joke. So we have what?
Shalim, my father passed away.
Shalim doesn't go either way.
Bottom, I couldn't go.
Whatever. Right, they don't let you go. So, listen, so the bottom line is what kills these mazikim? There's two things that a person needs to do. One is mikvah. Had this guy came to me. He was totally depressed. His life was just, he felt very empty. There's a lot of things that he had going on in his life. And he was just like, he sat in front of me, he's like, I'm just not comfortable. I'm not comfortable with my wife. I'm not comfortable with my kids. I'm not comfortable with my job. I'm not comfortable on myself. I'm just not comfortable. I drink. I try this. I'm just not. I'm like, the minute he said that, I was like, buzz. You got the buzz. All over you. They're crawling all over you. Like, millions of them. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, they're all over you. Like a creature feature movie. You know, he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, listen to me. You give me 40 days. Go to the mikveh every morning for 40 days. And he said, Kriya Shema Lamita Arizal. And you tell me, after 40 days, if you feel that uncomfortableness. After 10 days, he was like, oh my God, it's like magic. I'm like, it's not magic. You have plenty more to kill, but he was doing this every day. He was a married guy. He was doing this every day. I'm like, that's you're like infested, like lice. The person was infested with lice. You're uncomfortable. In fact, we printed, I'll give out tonight, we printed a sefer, a Kriya Shema Lamita sefer, a whole thing to say every night. And whatever person, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Gamliel runs the Shevavim in Yerushalayim on Fridays. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it's like minchas, like 2 hours long. It's amazing. And he says, oh, Hashem's name, Shemus, it's like crazy stuff goes on there. The place is packed with old Yerushalmis, with long beards. Don't think that anyone in this world doesn't have to deal with this Avera. When we were young, everybody has to deal with this Avera. So it's, you don't want to come to Shemayim and have to deal with it anymore. So, mikvah. Very important. Every day if you can. Mikvah. There are plenty of clean mikvahs. In the old days, you have to go crack the ice in the lake and go into the mikvah. Today, it's 112 degrees. Filtered. Clean. You can drink the water. They're so clean, most of the mikvahs. So there's no excuse. There's a mikvah and Kriya Shema Lamita. And you'll feel calm. And Zohar talks a lot about that. That Aveira causes kas. You're short-tempered and you're angry. It comes from that Aveira. Go to the mikvah, you say Kriya Shema Lamita. All of a sudden, your whole system will come down. If you don't believe me, do it for 40 days and come back and tell me I'm nuts. Guaranteed. And guaranteed it'll help you.
You said that a while ago.
There's nothing to tell him. Guaranteed. This guy's already, he's into it 10 days. He's like a new man. You're a new man. So that, you know, and the way, how does one stop? It's all Shemir Sinai. It's all Shemir Sinai. It's 99% Shemir Sinai. What you look at during the day is what you dream at night. And what you look at is forever in your brain. You can't erase it. It's not erasable. You can push it in the back, but you have to do some like crazy tshuva to erase it. So it's hard. It's very hard. It's hard, especially where we live. I'm not telling you that it's an easy thing, but imagine if Kala Yashin is giving such a schmooze on just looking at a girl. Imagine, Chas v'Shalom, the tumah. Again, Anida, he's saying, if she looks in a mirror, and it's a brand new mirror, there'll be a stain on the mirror, right? She just looked at it, she didn't touch it. That you will never be able to get off the mirror. Imagine if she touched you. That's a mirror. Imagine if she actually touched you. The tumah that it affects in a person's neshama. So, when the Chachamim came up and talked about Shemini Gia, right? And that's holding hands. I'm not even talking about other stuff. The Tuma of any girl today, they're all Tame. Every girl is Tame. Only a married woman is allowed to go to the mikveh. They're not going to let single girls to the mikveh. And the reason the Chachamim did that in the time of the Gemara is because when a single girl went to the mikveh, the guy, hello, it was Yantif. So they don't want that anymore, so they don't let them go anymore. So if looking at one has such an effect on you, imagine touching one. Or chas v'shalom, anything further than that. What an effect it has on a person's neshama. And you don't feel it. You don't feel it right away. It's a klipa. It's like very thin, like the peel of a grape. It's very thin. And the more you do it, the thicker it gets. Like a coconut. Coconut has one shell, has another shell, has three shells. To get through it, you need a hammer or a screwdriver. You gotta rip one open, you gotta rip the next open, and you gotta crack it open. And that's how the klipa works. Klipa starts off as the way it's written, as the, what do they call that on the egg?
Shell.
No, the film on it.
Membrane.
What? The membrane. It starts like a membrane. It's so thin, you mamash don't feel it. That's how the satan works. Until it's mamash like a coconut. You gotta crack it open with a, you gotta crack it open with a hammer and a screwdriver, if you're strong enough to do that. And then, if you ever had a coconut, once you crack it, you gotta take the screwdriver, you gotta, to get the white off the coconut, to get it off the shell, you gotta really pry in there. And that's his klach. And I have to tell you that, you know, we're not far from the big day, and something wants to take as many of us as he can with us. So the shaytan, these are days from Shmoyis to Mishpatim, that a person needs to work on himself to take a step. I don't know what your step is, and I don't know where anybody is, but to take a step, to look the other way, to not open your computer, at least, you know, for a while, and you'll see that you won't need it after a while. And you know, it's a big yitzhara, and he's in your head, and at this point he's telling you, they're going to pop your eyes out of your, they're going to break your eye sockets anyway, what the heck, might as well look at everything. Well, it's not true, because the person can do tshuva. And Hashem's waiting. He loves us, and he wants us to do tshuva. So a boy asked me, it's a fair question, I'm sure some of you are thinking this, and some of the people who are watching are thinking this. So why did Hashem create us like this? Why did he create us? Women, men, attraction, you know, looking, all the stuff that... Why do you create us like plants? You know? Why do you create us like this? The answer is that first of all, the Chachamim tried to kill. They killed the Tsar, the Malach, the Tsar of Avodah Zarah. That's why to you it makes no sense. Bowing down to an idol. That's stupid. Right? But it wasn't stupid. People took their children, sacrificed them to idols. You think they didn't love their children as much as we do? They loved them just as much. We don't understand it because they killed that Yetzirah. Then the Chacham said, this is very cool. We killed the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, and that went away. Let's kill the Yetzirah of immorality, Arayas. He said, but you know what? Before we kill it, because it might be a mistake, let's injure it and see what happens. So they injured it, says the Gemara, and chickens stopped laying eggs, and animals stopped reproducing, and there was no interest between male and female anymore. That didn't work. So they didn't kill it, because there would be no more children. So you need to know that in the world... there's always a balance. And zivug, true zivug between a man and a woman when they're allowed to be together, brings the Shekhinah down to this world. It's the holiest time. You'd think like, ugh, right? No, just the opposite. Zivug, the holiest time. It brings the Shekhinah into the world. But at the same time, if that's the holiest time in Kedusha, then the other side has to have the same thing in Tumah. So that's why, yes, there is an attraction between a boy and a girl, but that's to bring us to Kedusha, not to bring us to Tumah. And it's a fight, and it's a war, and it's a struggle. Anyone who tells you it isn't is a liar. It's a very big struggle. No matter how big a tzaddik you are, ain't apotropos la'arayis. Rav Chaim Kanievsky cannot be in a room alone with a girl because of yichud. Come on. Rav Chaim Kanievsky can't be in a room alone with a girl. You're worried something's going to happen? Like, what's going to happen, right? The Teretz says, no. Halacha is Rav Chaim Kanievsky cannot be in a room alone with a girl. Ain't apotropos la'arayis. So therefore, no one's above it, no one's below it, no one's beyond it. We got to deal with it. And what the Kaveh Yashar is telling us is that the first step to deal with it is Shmiras Anayim. It's the first step, is watch what you look at. And that is 100% very, very, very much. I would tell, if someone asked me, coach me, how do I stop this? The number one advice is to watch what you look at. Once the Yetzer Hara gets you to look at something like that, you're going down. You're going down. You can't. You're a guy. You have no choice. You're going down. So that's all he needs to do. He doesn't need to take you any further than that. He just needs you to turn out, you know, to just go online. And today, it's like, it's nuts. It's crazy. And I talked about this a lot to the girls, whatever it is. I saw somewhere, I don't remember where, which is like even scarier. If a girl is not sneistic, I read this to them, it really scared them. I think it was a Kaviyasha. Maybe it was a Zayar. If a girl doesn't get sneistic and a guy looks at her, he gazes at her, he gets part of her neshama. So she's walking down J and some Mexican guy is standing outside the food store and he's looking at her because she's not dressed sneistic. You guys can't even understand what I'm saying. When he gazes at her, because she's not dressed sneistic, he takes a part of her. And there's something missing in her, and she has a pagam, what's called, in her neshama. Crazy stuff. We live in a very spiritual world, even though we don't realize it. And everything has an effect. Everything has an effect. That's the way Hashem created the world. He created a world of consequence. No punishment. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. But he created a world of consequence. You drop a glass, it's going to break. It's the world he created. You jump off the Empire State Building, you're going to die. But Hashem, I didn't do any avarice in my life. But Hashem, I love you. Shema Yisrael, all the way down from the top of the Empire State Building. Splatter, man. It don't matter. Why? Because he created a world of consequence. 1 + 1 = 2. That's how he created his world. Because it has to be that way. So the consequence of looking at things you're not supposed to, the consequence is going to be chas v'shalom, the sever. And that's what Kaveh Yashar is talking about. And that's what these days are all about. Okay. It's late. It took a little longer than I thought it would. I want to read you a chidah, which is, by the way, there is tshuva, and anybody can do tshuva. Rishus kol adam nais delai. Everybody has permission, says the Rambam. In right to lahatos atzur l'derech taiva, he wants to go the right way. Liyos tzaddik and be a tzaddik. Rishus biyadai, you have permission. In right to lahatos atzur l'derech ra, you want to go the wrong way. Liyos rasha. Hashus biyadai, you have permission. Don't think it's predetermined. It's not predetermined. In fact, he says the Rambam never talks like this. I think it's the only place I ever saw this word ever. He says in Perek Hamishi, Perek Beis, Al Yavar b'machshavtcha. Don't think for a second in your mind. Dover zeh, this thing, sho'emrim, tipshei ha'umos, and the idiots of the world, v'rov gomei b'nei Yisrael, and the majority of the golems. You know who uses that word, golem? The Jewish golems. How do you say golem in English?
Fool.
Fool? Okay. So he says, Don't think for one second or believe the idiots of the world and the fools of the Jews, Shahakadosh Baruch Hu, that God, this is the Rambam, Goyzer al Adam mitchilas priyasai, that God decreed before you were born, liyoy tzaddik oy rasha, if you should be a tzaddik or rasha. Ain't hadavar kein. It's not true. Ella kol Adam v'Adam roi liyoy tzaddik k'maish Rabbeinu. Every person has the ability to be a tzaddik k'maish Rabbeinu. Oy rasha ki Yeravam. Or a rasha like Yeravam. Oy chacham, or smart, or stupid, or rachaman, or person who has pity, or exari, a person who is mean, or kili, or shua, or chen shakla deyes. He says, no one is born with a predetermined whether you're going to be a tzaddik or rasha. Everybody has bechira. Now he says the following. He says, when does a person have all these punishments? When a person doesn't do tshuva. Abolim asa tshuva, the person does tshuva, ha tshuva kisris lifnei apraniyais. The tshuva is a shield. Protects you from any danger. Ukishen, this is what I love. I love this Rambam. Listen to this. This everyone has to hear, especially after such a shir. Listen to what the Rambam says. Kishen Shaha Adam Choite Britzainai. Just like a person sins out of his free will, Umidatai, and with his knowledge, Kahu Oise Tshuva Britzainai Umidatai. A person also can do tshuva from his free will and his das. You don't have to have a rabbi yelling at you or screaming at you or a punishment or a reward or worrying about they're going to burn you or break your eye sockets or put your nefesh back and whatever they're going to do to you in the next world. He says, a person, just like you want to do something wrong and you do it wrong, you also can want to do tshuva and do tshuva. Except the Efshar, he says, but it's possible. Sheyechet ha'adam chayt gadol, that a person can do such a big sin, echatarm harbe, or can do so many sins, at sheyitein hadin lifnei dayan emes, the malach of din comes in front of Hashem, shehayeparayim yizeh ha'chayt al-chotam, and Hashem does not allow him, ve'ein menichon lo'i v'shus l'shuv m'shisai. In order that he should die. In other words, after Hitler killed 6 million Jews, God wasn't giving Hitler a chance to do tshuva. He lost his chance to do tshuva. And he actually quotes, this Rambam quotes, this week's parsha in Paro. Because it doesn't make sense that Hichbada Deleif Paro, if you really look at it, if Hashem made his heart hard, so what do you want from him? How could he let... See, of course he's not going to let the Jews out. It's God's fault he didn't let the Jews out. Because every time he wanted to let the Jews out, Hashem made his heart hard. Why? It's not fair. It's a little fair. If you read this, you'd say, it's very unfair what God did. The guy wants to do tshuva and you're hardening his heart? Come on, that's not the way things are done. And the answer is, and this is what the Rambam brings down here, is that Paro was supposed to make the Jews slaves. That's it. He wasn't supposed to throw the first Jewish boys born all into the Nile River. He wasn't supposed to take babies if they didn't have enough bricks and use them as the bricks. He wasn't supposed to bathe in the blood of Jewish children to get rid of his saras. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you were just supposed to make them servants. You took babies and put them in the wall when you ran out of bricks. You threw all my Jewish children into the Nile River. You bathed in their blood. Now I'm going to give you makis, and I should let you do tshuva? No. You're going to get it. And then you're going to get it. And you're going to get it. Because if he would have let the Jews go out, that's it. He wasn't getting it anymore. So he had to get it over and over. There's an insect in the world that has this, the spider. The spider doesn't kill its prey. If a fly gets caught in a spider web, the spider goes to the fly, sucks out just enough blood not to kill it, lets it live. Then it's stuck in the thing. It regenerates its blood, goes back, takes it out again until there's like mom, there's nothing left of the fly. So we, let's say, so not that, that what Hashem did over here was this guy deserved to get whacked for what he did. But if he was just a regular human being, after Dom or Tzvadeh and everyone saying like, let him go, he would have let us go. He wouldn't have gotten hit by with all the other ones, with Makkos B'chayos and everything else, and the whole Yamsuf and everything else. We would have let him go. Go get out of here. Go to Israel. And nothing would have happened. But because he did what he hardened his own heart. Hashem didn't tell you to go kill Jews. That's, you were supposed to have them as servants, as slaves. You hardened your own heart. So the Mida Kenegan means, now I'm going to harden your heart. And now you're going to pay the price.
He also says in the
Sukkot
also that it says that he made his
property. Sometimes he didn't. Right. Well, that's why Hashem, but he would have let them go a few times.
Yeah.
Many times. All right, so I want to read you, we're finished. It'll take 2 minutes just to blow your minds a little bit. Because this is what you want to take home. Because the other thing you're not going to talk about by the table. So we got to give you something to talk about at the table. So he says like this. First of all, he talks about what we just said. He said, it says, Baal Paro, come to Paro. Keni ichbalti es libo. I made his heart hard. The Efshel Afar, says the Chiddush. Says the Chiddush. The Baal lelameid, the tovet habechiru b'yai basel v'dam. V'yochel es gabal yisrael. Person, no matter what, even if Hashem hardens your heart, you still have a choice and have the ability to overcome your Yetzirah. Af al pi sha'ani hechvarati adayin habechiru b'yadai. That's why Hashem said, boil power. If hechvarati is libo, why are you going to power? If you made his heart hard, he's going to say no, why am I sending you to something that I know he's going to say no for sure? Right? So the Chiddush is explaining, there was still a possibility for Paro to say yes. That even when Hashem hardens your heart, you still have a chance. And the Gemara says, Chutz Ma'acher, Acher was a very bad person. And he says, you should know that. The Im Kol Zeh, the Or HaChaim says, Hay Lelosher, he could have done Shuvah. Okay. He says, Aval Tzorach L'Zgabim Ma'oid Al Yitzray. It's a little harder. You have to work very, 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 very hard. Now, this is what he says like this. You know, he always talks about Gilgal, right? So he says, Boel Paro, why did Moshe Rabbeinu come to Paro? To tell him that he's bringing the Makkah of Arba. Arba was locusts. They ate every single thing that was growing in Mitzrayim. There was nothing left. It got dark like night. They covered the whole sky, right? Okay, so he says the following. He says that, we'll skip the Yitzchak part. He says that Paro was the Nachash. Well, this war has been, you know, started in the beginning of the world. So Paro was the Nachash. How do you know that? If you take the letter Nachash, if you take the word Nachash, what does it equal? 358. 300, Nunichas, is 58. If you take the word Paro, it equals, Resh is 200, Pei is 80, Ayin is 70, is 350. Hey is 5. 355. Right? If you take the word Bo, is 2 and 1, is 3. So Bo El Paro, Bo, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was told to come to Paro. Now, the Nachash, which equals 358, with the words, is the same as Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. Because Paro equals 355 plus the word Paro Melech Mitzrayim, right? He says, what did the Nachash do? This is like amazing. What did the Nachash do? He gave Chava to eat from the
tree,
right? It's a dust. This is what you're going to say over at the table. What was Chava's punishment? What did he cause her to be her punishment? Let me read it to you. Let me read you. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. It's all going to come together. I love the Chiddush. So, Paro is the Nachash. Because he made her eat from the tree, she got punished. What was her punishment? Let me read you the pasuk. The Ela Isha, and to the woman, Hashem said, Omar, check it out. Pasuk Tet Zayin. Anyone who doesn't think that there's a God, just look at this Chiddush. Pasuk Tet Zayin and Perek Gimel. Elisha Omar, to the woman Hashem said, Harba Arba Itzvoinech. There's going to be many Arba. Arba also means locusts. Your punishment is, right, the word Arba. Now, Paro had to get it, Mida Keneged Mida. Paro was the Nachash. Paro caused Chava Arbel here, and where the curse means a lot of pain when you give birth. So since you caused Chava Arbe, you have to get Arbe back. So Moshe Rabbeinu, wait, it's not finished. Because Moshe Rabbeinu equals 345. Right? Am I right? 345? Okay. So, Kayin, we know, came back many, many times. He came back in Kairach. So he says the following. So first of all, he says, what's the Lechalis there, Yisro? Dinu sheyakab arbe. He had to get arbe. V'zeh remez boy oparo. Boy, the gematria gimel. Bo equals three. In place of gimel alparo, if you take the words bo, which is three, and you add it to the word paro, hu gematria nachash. It equals the gematria nachash. V'dinu, and the judgment on him was sheyakab amaka arbe, because what he caused to chal. That's mind-boggling, number one. Okay. Then he says that Paro was Kain. Moshe was Hevel. We know Moshe was Hevel, because Moshe was always Hevel. Moshe, when he went against Korach, was Hevel. Moshe was always Hevel. Now, we never learned this. Maybe I mentioned it one time, a long time ago, because it was a shir, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, from Rav Shimon Pinkus that was a very, very Kabbalistic shir. When Kain killed Hevel, he got an ice. The Torah says he got an ice. He got a letter on his forehead to tell everyone who he was. It was a machlokes what the letter was, but the Zohar says it was the letter Yud. Listen to this, it's unbelievable. Now, Paro was Kayin, Moshe was Hevel. What did Kayin have more? It's the letter Yud. If you take the word Paro, it equals Pei is 80, Resh is 200, Ayin is 70, and 5. So it's 200, 80, and 70, so it's 355. Am I right? 200 plus 80 is 280, plus 70 is 355, right? Paro equals 355. How much does Moshe equal?
345.
So Paro, who was Kayin, said to Moshe, you can't beat me, because the ois yud that God gave me makes me worth 10 more than you. Before I had the ois, I was equal to you. But now that I'm Kayin, Paro's Kayin, so I equal 355. You equal 345. So you cannot beat me. So what happened? Uvezel, he writes, his guy, Bel Moshe. With this, he tried to beat Moshe. So Hashem said, I'm going to take away from Paro, who's Kayin, those extra 10. How am I going to take it? I'm going to give him 10 makas. So each maka is going to take one of those away. What happens at the 10th maka? Different than all the other makas, guys.
He runs to Moshe.
He runs to Moshe. Because now he's no longer above Moshe. So in all the other makas, Moshe had to come to him because he was still ahead of Moshe. But when it came to makas b'chayrais, he was equal. He no longer could say, I'm bigger than you, you got to come to me. So when makas b'chayrais, he had to come to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe said to him when he walked out, but after Choshech, he says, I won't see your face again. I'm not coming back to you again, because we took 9 away and the 10th one's about to be taken away. You no longer have anything more than me. Now he says, and Paro, right? So now, you're never less a makas. But after Paro calls Shehuka as a makas, okay, it's brought down, whatever, that he killed him, he bit him 10 times. That's how Cain killed Hevel. Doesn't say anywhere, that's a Zohar. Doesn't say anywhere, if you look in the Torah, it doesn't say how he killed him. It says he killed him. He bit him 10 times. That's what it says. There's a whole Zohar on this. Whatever, it's not important how he killed. I mean, that's what. Uparoi, okay. She says, Paroi, it's Gematria Nachosh. If Shlois Tev is Paro, Melch Mitzrayim. Okay. So, Boa Paro was a Nachosh, and he got it back over here because he did that to Chava, And therefore his punishment was the word Aver, and that's why he got the 10 makos, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, Boy El Paro, you should come to Paro, because Bo with Paro together, Taka comes to Arba, and he says, if you take the Seif Tevis, Bo El Paro, Bo, the last letter of Bo is an Aleph, the last letter of El is a Lamed, and the last letter of Paro is a He. So if you take Bo El Paro, you have an Aleph, a Lamed, and a He, which equals 36. Hevel equals 35. In Makoilo, with the word Hevel, equals 36. So this whole war was going on. And the more you learn, the more you realize that what you see in the Torah is just like an outline of not what's really going on over here. Could you imagine? Because her punishment was the Harba Arba, so he had to get Arba because of Mida Kenega Mida. So I want to end with this word, that Hashem, we're supposed to be Mitzrayim 400 years. How many years were we in Mitzrayim? Anyone here know? 210. Hashem didn't want us to be Mitzrayim 400 years. So he came to the Shleish Avos, and he said to Avraham Avinu, I need a letter from your name. If I can get a letter from your name, right, then the extra letter that you got, that'll take off that amount of years from Klal Yisrael being in Mitzrayim. So Avraham Avinu said to Hashem, if I give you back the hay, then I won't be the Hamoin Goyim anymore. Because when Hashem gave him the hay, he said, you're going to be the Hamoin, you're going to run the whole world. If I give you back the hay, I'm back to Avram. If I'm back to Avram, I lost the whole thing. I can't give up a letter. So Hashem said to Yaakov, how about you giving me up a letter? He said, give me the Yud. He said, I can't give you the Yud, because my name would just spell Akev, which is a heel. That's no good either. So Kadosh Baruch Hu came to Yitzchak. I think it's put down the Gemara. I'm not sure it's a Gemara, but it's definitely a Chazal. Hashem came to Yitzchak. Now, you need to know that Yitzchak's name was not Yitzchak, but it was with a shin, with a sin. In fact, in Tehillim, it's printed with a sin. Yitzchak told Hashem, it's beautiful, he said, take the sin and change it to a tzaddik. So it's going from Yitzchak, which we say, when we say Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yitzchak. What's the difference between a shin and a tzaddik? A shin is 300. What's a tzaddik? 90. What's between 300 and 90? 210. So Yitzchak gave up the shin and took the tzaddik. And that's why we are Yisha. There was left Reish Dalet Vav 210 years, and he was the one that gave us the 210 years. And I'm not sure 100%, but isn't it true that the Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be in the Schus of Yitzchak? He was the one. Hashem goes to all the different avos and ends up by Yitzchak.
I'll take it myself.
It ends up Yitzchak makes benches. Yitzchak benches by the Suda of no David benches. So what? What's Yitzchak? The Gemara said.
He said, "Here for me, here for you. Otherwise, I'll take the whole thing on me. I'll mark myself to call the
oil." Hashem went to Avram. He said, "No, can't, because." Had Yishmael. But Yitzchak had Esau, but that didn't matter. I don't remember the Gemara clearly, but the Gemara says the Mashiach.
That's not benching. That's not benching. He's like something else.
Because the Afar Akedah. Anyway, so he's saying over here that just like because of Yitzchak, he changed his name from Yitzchak to Yitzchak. He gave up, therefore, he brings out a whole thing over that Mashiach Mitz Hashem will also come. The Schutz Yitzchak, and we should see that Schutz Bekarov, and we should be very careful to, in the next few weeks, as much as we can, to have Shemir Senayim, to go to the mikveh every day, and to say Kriyas Shema Lamita. Now, the Kriyas Shema Lamita we just printed, it has translation. It's translated in English, actually. It's a Kriyas Shema, the first time it was ever translated, and it's translated from the Ari HaKadosh's Kriyashma.
and they were just printed. I don't think anybody has them yet. And I was told they're in a closet here somewhere. I'll look for it, and I'll give everyone to say it. I have to tell you this. Those mazikim don't want to die. So when you take out this Kriya Shema, it takes about 15 to 18 minutes to say it. Every single night, you're going to find a reason why you can't say it. And you're going to find yourself in the middle of saying it, falling asleep. And you're going to find people calling you in the middle of saying it. They're going to do whatever. Because when you say the whole Kriya Shema, according to the Zohar, Kriya Shema Lamita Bapia Zohar, every time you say it, you kill like 10,000 of these mazikim. That's a lot. So they're going to fight you that you shouldn't be able to say it. And every night they're going to fight you, and you're going to fall asleep, and I'll say the other Kriya Shema, whatever it is. But you need to know that every time you do it, there's going to be less buzzing in your ear, less dysfunction in your life, better panasa, because they take your money when it comes down the pipe. They're your children, and you have to support your children. So the more you do that Aveira, the more money you lose, because they have a right to take that money, the mazikim, because you have to, the halacha is you have to support your children. They are your children, and there's many stories. They sit by the tzinar, they sit by the pipe where... So Hashem could write Rosh Hashanah that you're going to be a billionaire, and you're going to go into all these deals, and the last second that you're going to fall apart. And you're like, Hashem, why'd you bring me the deal if it's going to fall apart? And the answer is that they sit there, and they say, we're his children too, and he has to support us. And they take the moment, it's brought down, they take the moment. So it affects your panasa, it affects your depression, it affects your kas, it affects your anger, it affects your ability to daven, it affects your ability to understand what you're learning. It has a huge effect on a person. So if you can say the Kriya Shema, you can go to the mikvah, and you have Shemir Zainayim, I'm sure that each person here will find his own Mashiach much faster. Yes, what do you want to ask?
You know about Guard Your Eyes?
Yeah. Oh, the book? No.
No, the website, Guard Your Eyes.
Website, what are you doing on the internet?
He's looking for a Ziva gum from store.
Better to guard your eyes and not have it. Once you're on it, go to TorahAnytime.com. I don't know what it is. So what happens? So you go there and you see the Kotel? Like what happens?
No, so it's a whole website that takes Genesis. It's a whole community that it's an anonymous username, and it has forums for men, women, wives, husbands.
What happens when you go there?
You go there and you get help. It's a huge.
Oh, you get help.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But what do you see when you go there?
It's a website.
I'm totally illiterate.
Right,
I'm not playing that. They all know that. I don't have one of these. He has my phone. It's like not much you can do there.
Chat. You could. Like, it has support.
You know, it's a bad word though.
Yeah,
I know, but once he's there, so it's in this chat room and that.
Yeah, we have to understand.
Well, a lot of people found that
big thing.
Let me tell you a secret. I'm not saying Chas V'Shalom does anything wrong with this place. I'm sure it's a very, very good place. Do you know where drug dealers send their best salesmen, their best people? Where do you think they send them?
Facebook.
Nope. You know where? To rehabs. What they do is they have someone check into a rehab who's, I need help, and they pay the most expensive rehabs, $12,000 a month, or $12,000, $6,000. They put their own guy in there, because everybody in the rehab is a drug addict. Everyone. So he's walking in and is full of customers. So what he does is, I'm trying, he's in all the groups and everything, but by the way, if you ever get out and you need stuff, and you know, whatever, here's a number. Or call me when you get out, I'll help you with your rehab. That's where they send them. And I have to be careful how I say this. Maybe we should go offline. But yeah, we can go offline for this. They don't need to hear this. This is for the boys. You have to get something extra for coming.